Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Radio Gringo from WMFO in Medford. I'll start off the program with a very important announcement about financial literacy. When it comes to have money, you don't rely on luck. Brown bag it to work instead of ordering. For free ideas on how to go save, go to feedthepig.org. That's F-E-E-D T-H-E-P-I-G dot O-R-G. A special announcement from WMFO. We'll have the radio program start in just a few minutes. Please enjoy this beautiful Spanish interlude. Hello, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Tufts WMFO in Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. Today, I have a very, very special guest with us live on air. Special guest, would you like the honor of introducing yourself?
Also known as the Institute for Study Abroad.
Ah, fantastic, fantastic. It's so great to have you on the air. It's so great to have you here. And where are you calling from, out of curiosity?
That's a really good question. So I live in Western Connecticut. I work remotely, but I travel all over Massachusetts, Rhode Island, and Connecticut.
Ah, that's amazing. That's amazing. So then I just have some preliminary questions. Did you also study abroad back in the day?
That's a really good question. And I am really sad to say that I did not. During my undergraduate degree, which I did back home in Australia, it just wasn't something that ever really came to light. That being said, I did grad school here in the US, so maybe I studied abroad in that respect.
And where are you from? Are you from the UK?
I'm originally from Australia.
Oh, that's exciting.
I grew up just outside of Melbourne.
Okay, so then you basically are abroad right now.
Exactly.
Fantastic. So then, I just want to jump right in because I have so many questions I'd like to ask you. So the Institute for Study Abroad, IFSA, how do you think that compares to other study abroad programs that are out there in terms of offerings, in terms of course location, because there's just so many options? I myself was very lost in the possibilities. It was overwhelming.
Yeah, absolutely. So we are a not-for-profit organization, and we do have over 100 different programs in, well, we'll be adding a 20th country next fall, which is very exciting.
That is exciting.
What makes us different from other providers? Now, there are thousands of providers out there, and I know it can be super overwhelming for people. There's many things that make us different. We generally don't work in the more traditional study abroad locations. I mean, we're certainly in the UK, we're in Australia and New Zealand and Ireland, but we're not in France, we're not in the Netherlands and places like that. We have a few offbeat programs, which is awesome. So we're the only study abroad provider in Sri Lanka.
Really?
Running study abroad. We are. I know, that's exciting. We have the longest running study abroad program in Cuba.
Really? I didn't even know that people could legally go to Cuba.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm not too sure where the visa restriction is at right now, but for educational purposes, absolutely.
That's amazing.
Fascinating, fascinating programs. But I mean, those are just locations. One thing that makes IFSA very unique is that we focus very much on individualized learning. So our programs are not those programs where you have 400 other students. So you're not, you know, there's not 10 Tufts students, or there's, you know, not 200 other US students that you're in this little bubble with. You might be one of 4 students. You might be one of 20 students. And we really like to keep it that way because it makes it so much more personalized, so much more individualized. Students have the opportunity to really interact with our staff, with the locals, to get really dig deep into the culture. And you know, we know every single student's name. So that's something that definitely sets us apart. We have commitments that surround that individualized learning and that personalization. We are committed to diversity, to inclusive excellence. So I know people throw around the idea that, wow, we really want to get as many different people to study abroad as possible. Well, okay, that's awesome. Once they're abroad, how do we really support and mentor those students? Because this might be their first time out of the country. Maybe they're a first-generation student. Maybe, you know, they don't have the money to participate in other things additional travel that their fellow students might be doing. So we really endeavor not just to support to get those students onto the program, but to really support them once they're abroad as well.
Actually, if you don't mind me jumping in my, because I did IFSA in Chile, and my program was 18, 19 people. It was very small. And I really, really liked it just because it was, like, as you said, it was really personalized. Everyone kind of knew. It was what I imagined living in a small town is like. Everyone knew me. Everyone knew my name, my, like, shtick, if you will. But it was also nice just because purely because of the size, I was degrees of magnitude more exposed to Chilean and South American culture. And it also was really nice because there were classes that were also with international students. There was also class offerings with only Chileans. In my intro to agriculture class, or intro to Chilean agriculture, it was all taught in Spanish, all Chileans. I was the only international student. It was really, really insightful. I learned so much fun vocab.
I bet.
Yeah. No. Did you know the word for composting in Spanish is compostar? I know. It's,
I do now.
Yeah, compostaje. That's also like the compost. Anyway, back to more questions. Sorry to make it all about me.
No, it's great to hear your story. I think that's very important when other people, like, you can hear me tell you, oh, it's just the best, and of course it is. our programs are incredible, but when they hear it from you and other peers, it has such a far more lasting and stronger impact.
Mm-hmm. I couldn't agree more. Well, actually, and then going off of that, what would you say are some of IFSA's success stories with students going abroad and how it might have changed them?
Yeah, wow. You know what? The benefits of studying abroad are completely, like there are so many, it's hard to grasp. The research is astronomical. And without question, universities are starting to say to students, you know, not, are you going to study abroad? But when are you going to study abroad? Because it's such an integral part of an undergraduate degree these days. In terms of IFSA success stories, there's one that I really like to tell often. Now, I'll be honest, I haven't worked for IFSA that long. I've actually come from a study abroad advising side of things at another institution. But some of the stories I've heard. So, for example, we have an incredible program in China. It's an international business in China program. And part of the program, students have the opportunity to participate in a part-time 4-credit internship. And it can be whatever the student is looking for. So we have staff on the ground in Shanghai And students can say, you know what, I'm interested in this, and our staff have the resources, the networks to help the students find exactly what they're looking for. So there was a student from a university in Boston who had ended up finding an internship as a part of this IFSA program with KPMG. When he got back to campus, so this was just this past summer, he had an interview with KPMG. Now he'd just finished his junior year, had an interview with KPMG, and he spent, I'd say, three quarters of that interview talking about the internship that he did with KPMG in China. And they believe that this is the sole reason that he has been hired, even though he hasn't graduated yet. KPMG are holding a position for him as a consultant at their KPMG office in Boston because of that internship, because of the intercultural agility that he has managed to gain whilst he was there, the language skills that he's picked up, and just that global citizenry that he probably couldn't have got back home in Boston.
That's amazing. I actually have a similar story in terms of I also had an internship through the same way that this student did. And not only was it like fascinating and insightful, I worked for a local radio station in Valparaiso. Ah. I know, it was right up there with my interests of doing radio and of telecommunications. And I not only was it an amazing experience, but it was also like I personally think a really nice resume builder and a really good and also a really good opportunity to practice my Spanish in front of the entire city of Valparaiso, Chile. So
definitely.
Yeah.
That is brave. I'm very impressed with that.
Actually, my secret for Spanish for foreign language acquisition, make as many mistakes as you can in front of as many people as you can, because then you won't make that mistake again.
I love it. That is the best way to learn, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I actually canceled a hotel reservation by accident because I mixed up por and para. And now I don't do that anymore. So
that's awesome. That's a fabulous story.
Mm-hmm. So then, if you don't mind asking another question, I feel like our conversation thus far has been very language-oriented. For students who may not be as linguistically interested, or if that's not maybe their goal for study abroad, does IFSA offer any particular programs in English-speaking countries or that don't have such a rigorous language requirement?
Yeah, excellent question. And the answer is absolutely. So we offer questions. Oh my gosh, we offer programs in the English speaking world. So right throughout the UK, England, Ireland, Scotland, Wales, the Republic of Ireland as well, Australia, New Zealand. We also have our programs in China, India and Sri Lanka, although non-English speaking locations. The programs are taught in English. This would be the same for our programs in Italy, Barcelona, Prague, and we have a handful of programs in Buenos Aires in Argentina. So they are taught in English, so students do not need to fear the language barrier. And in those programs, there is a class that students would take, a basic language class. So maybe they're taking, you know, beginner Spanish, beginner Czech, just to give them a few little words, phrases here and there, so they can interact more effectively once they're outside of the classroom with the locals. Oh, and we also have that option in Israel as well.
Oh, wow. So it's almost like a, like, build your own adventure type deal. Like, that's a lot of freedom that IFSA can offer.
Absolutely, without question. One of the things we really try to help students with is integrate as much as possible with the local culture. So whether this is through excursions that we provide to students at no additional cost, and this could be, you know, working with a local community on a community project. It could be working with a language partner. We really want to help them to get as fully immersed as possible. And I'm sure that as you found in Chile, language helps.
Mm-hmm.
So even if you're taking your classes in English, once you're outside of the classroom, and even if you're able to go to a market and say, you know, how much is the apple? Or can you please tell me where the bathroom is? Something so simple, and to show that you're making an effort, the local people, the local culture will just embrace you.
Mm-hmm. So then, we've been talking a lot about just like places on the globe, ranging from Israel, Sri Lanka, China, all sorts of countries that IFSA has programs in. Have you personally traveled to any of these places? Well, Australia, of course, but...
Yeah, that's a fantastic question, Chris. So before I even started working for IFSA, I have actually been to every single country where we offer programs.
Ooh. So then that actually dovetails perfectly into my next question. What is the best place that you've traveled to?
That's a very difficult question for me. I've actually traveled to almost 150 different countries. And my favorite country was actually a place I visited 10 years ago. And my favorite country then, and potentially now, I haven't been there in so long, it may have changed significantly, and I've certainly changed in the past 10 years, was Nepal.
Really?
But I also have favorite places in the world, in Australia, in England, in Tibet. So it's hard for me to say that I have a favorite country, even though for a long time Nepal certainly holds a big place in my heart. I truly feel I get something from every single place I visit.
So then what, like, types of, like, tourism and what types of opportunities are there in, like, Nepal and in all of these fun, exotic places?
Yeah. So I did spend 10 years literally backpacking. I lived out of a bag for 10 years.
Oh, my goodness.
Australia at the young age of 22. And I would get a working holiday visa, and I ended up living in 9 different countries. And at each of those locations, I would find myself work, but I would always try to volunteer somewhere. So even though I didn't officially work in Nepal, I did do some volunteer teaching of English. I also worked in an orphanage. I've worked as a volunteer photographer in Bangladesh. I've done, you know, cleaning up of the beaches in Israel and Iceland. So a lot of volunteer opportunities have really helped to get me involved with the local culture. I also taught English in the Dominican Republic.
That's amazing. So then how are your language skills, if you don't mind me asking? Because I would assume that you must be, like, just so polyglot.
I wish I could say I was, and perhaps this is something that, I don't know how to put it, maybe not a sore spot, but something that I've struggled with over the past few decades that I have been traveling, is that I've never been good at language. So
really?
I, without question, do my best before I get anywhere. I learn at least the top 10, 20 phrases, words that can get me around. I will carry a phrase book. And I will try to talk to people in the local language, even if I'm, you know, trying to mangle my way through Romanian or something. But I know how important it is to try the language. I've traveled with friends that didn't do that, and I almost felt like they were being rude to the local people when they would just suddenly talk to them in English. And I'm like, that's not their language. We can't expect them to speak English. We're in their home, in their country. So I certainly try my best, but Chris, I'm afraid to say that I speak English, only English. But look, I've traveled the world, so it's possible.
Mm-hmm. And then would you say that is good advice for prospective IFSA students and prospective students who are about to go abroad, like, for how to, like, brush up on language skills before they go? Like, learning phrases, what else would you recommend?
Definitely. You know, if a student has the time, I know it's difficult as an undergrad student with so much going on, so many commitments and so many bits and pieces. You know, join a local language group. Join if there's something on campus. Join, you know, if you've decided you want to go to an Arab-speaking location, but you'll be taking classes in English, but you'd like to speak some Arabic, join an Arabic group on campus if one exists. There might be a local meetup group in your town or in your city that helps with language fluency. Take a translator app on your phone. Buy a phrase book. Definitely try to at least have a little something under your belt. Meet with native speakers of that language if you can find any on campus.
Actually, I did a similar thing when I was abroad before I went to South America to prepare for all Spanish all the time. My university, and I know that many other universities have this as well, they have, like, weekly conversation circles for, like, an hour. Many local libraries in cities and towns around America also have conversation groups that are available on their website.
Absolutely.
Netflix also has many of their programs with subtitles and even dubbed in foreign language in many cases.
Excellent suggestion. I forgot about that. Absolutely.
Yeah, that personally, I watched all of BoJack Horseman in Spanish before I went abroad, just to like review.
Yeah, that's brilliant.
Okay, so then I actually have another question then. So I only did a semester abroad, but many other students I was with did a year. In your experience, do you know of any pros or cons to doing a semester versus a year? And how would you recommend knowing what amount of time is right for you, like as a prospective abroad student?
Definitely. It's definitely an individual choice. Research suggests, so this is research.
Ooh, is it peer-reviewed research?
It is indeed. The best. That studying abroad for a year, the benefits are far greater. So whether a student is looking at language acquisition, looking to increase self-confidence, maturity, looking to engage more deeply with the culture, without question, a year abroad is going to help with those skills and those goals. However, studying abroad for a semester is beyond beneficial as well, of course. Generally, you're abroad for 3 or 4 months. About the third month, people are starting to find their feet. They're really starting to, flourish in their classes, to flourish in their social environment, to get more engaged with the local community. And then you've suddenly got this 1 month left to do everything that you possibly can and then say goodbye to people. For different people, some people can only go away for one semester, and that is amazing, and that is incredible, and it's going to be more beneficial than going away for a short-term summer program or a two-week faculty-led program. Some students have other commitments. Maybe they're an athlete. Maybe they have an internship they need to come back to for a second semester. But research would suggest the benefits are far greater from a full year abroad. And IFSA certainly offers full-year programs, but there's nothing to say that a student would not gain immensely or benefit immensely from a semester abroad.
Mm-hmm. I couldn't agree more. In my one semester, I just learned so much. And in hindsight, I wish I could have done a full year, just because I wish I could have, stayed. Chile is a fascinating place. So then let me...
I was going to say, we do... Sorry.
Oh, no, please, of course. Go right ahead.
So we do have some students that go abroad for a semester. Maybe they're a little hesitant at first. They're worried about what they might be missing out back home on campus. And that is a huge challenge for students. This massive FOMO. What is going to happen whilst I'm abroad? What am I missing out back here? And we have a lot of students that actually, once they're abroad, realize, you know what, this is pretty awesome. I'm not missing out on that much back home. And they extend their program abroad. So maybe they stay at the same university, which is absolutely fine, or maybe they choose to go to a new location. So we certainly have students that have done, say, the full semester of junior year in India and then been like, you know what, I love this study abroad experience. I'm going to try something else, and I'm going to try something new. So this time, I think I'm going to find myself in Northern Ireland. So very different experiences, but they're still abroad for the full year and still gaining immensely.
That's really, really good advice. That's amazing. And then, but would it be possible to do like one semester in, say, Sri Lanka and then another semester in Chile, or say one semester in China and another semester in India? Would that be possible, like two different countries?
Oh, absolutely, without question. I mean, things to consider, certainly, how well does it fit in with your curriculum back home? We want to help students make sure they're still graduating on time. And that's another fear that students have, that I'm not going to get the credits that I need in a particular area or something like that. So making sure that students aren't missing out on classes or credits that they need, absolutely, without question, a student could do two completely different semesters in two completely different locations.
Well, actually, I'm so glad you brought that up, because given that IFSA is also an academic program, I'd love to talk about some of the classes that IFSA offers. And my first question would be that in my own experience, a lot of students have hesitations going abroad because of about possible postgraduate opportunities. Say they're pre-med or they're on a pre-law track. What advice would you give those students about what IFSA can offer for them?
That is a really good question, and it's actually something that's been coming up a lot lately. There are some campuses that I've visited that have pre-med advisors in particular that are like, you cannot study abroad because when you apply for grad school, it's going to look terrible that you studied abroad. The great thing is that, two things really, pre-med students, really any student, no matter what you're studying, you can study abroad if your institution, of course, will permit you to do so. We have an incredible service, completely free. It's a curriculum integration. So if a student says, you know what, I'm a pre-med major and I need to take a class in biochemistry, neuroscience, and another class in bio to keep myself on track, make sure that I'm getting the credits, and it needs to be this exact class, we can find programs that have those exact classes available to the students. It's also very important that students talk to their study abroad department and also talk to faculty in their major or minor or whatever classes they're wanting to take abroad to make sure that those credits can transfer back. We would hate for a student to be wanting to go abroad, they sign up, they start the application rolling, they're accepted to a program, and then they find out the credits won't come back, won't transfer either. It's very important to make sure that students are talking to make sure the credits will transfer easily, talking to the study abroad department to see where they can go, what programs are available to them, and then reaching out to IFSA so we can find classes that will match so they're not going to miss out. They're still going to get the credits that they need.
That's really, really good advice. But then would there be different course offerings in different countries? Like, say, would the Israeli option have more pre-med or pre-law classes than, say, the China option, or the Cuba option would have more than the Cuba. Like, would it be, like, blanket IFSA has it all, or is there some more specialization within each program?
No, that's an excellent question, and the latter is absolutely correct. So we certainly offer direct enroll options. So, hey, I want to go to Australia, and I want to go to the University of Sydney. There are going to be pretty much every single type of subject available to you at a large public research university like that. Same with the University of Melbourne. And then we have far more specialized programs. So a student might be going on our Sri Lanka program. So it's a center-based program. Students are taking a core course and a basic language class in Sinhala or Tamil. And then they're taking a choice of three electives from a list of about seven or eight electives. And they're pretty focused. So they might be on civil rights, social justice, policy, political science, and things like that. We have very streamlined programs. So, for example, international business in China. Essentially, it's a business program. We have an intensive language course in China, so it would be students just focusing on language. So, to be honest, Chris, we have programs right across the spectrum, from a program that's completely open and you can take any subject you like to ones that are far more specialized. You know, if I'm interested in diversity and coexistence, we would highly encourage students to consider our program in Jerusalem. If a student is very much interested in learning about, some form of Caribbean or Latin history, maybe try our program in Cuba.
Actually, I took one of those classes, and it was amazing. It was the sociopolitical history of Latin America in the 20th century.
There you go.
Yeah, it was perspective shattering. It was amazing. I loved it.
I have no doubt. Yeah.
So then let me ask you another question. Let's change speeds a little bit, because I'd like to ask about financial aid opportunities that IFSA would be able to offer students if they are not able to afford the full tuition of a university abroad. What advice would you be able to offer them, and what can IFSA themselves offer them?
Yeah, definitely. So cost is without question the number one challenge, or perceived challenge, I should really say, for students wishing to study abroad. The great thing is we certainly want to make it as affordable for everybody as possible. And most students will find that the cost of studying on campus is going to be the same as the cost of studying abroad. It does depend on the institution's study abroad financial policy. So some institutions students continue to pay their home school tuition, and it's just like you're still paying everything for Tux, but you're actually going to be off campus for a semester.
Mm.
And then other schools might be, you pay everything directly to EFSA. We want it to be as affordable as possible for everybody. So we have everything from automatic $2,000 grants for particular programs. So if a student's like, you know what, I really want to study in Spain, well, we have a new program opening next fall, we'll give you $2,000 towards that program for choosing that specific program. We also offer this for our Sri Lanka program and a handful of other programs. So these are program-specific scholarships. Students don't even need to apply for them. They're automatic and they're guaranteed. We work very closely with the study abroad departments, who in turn work closely with the financial aid officers at each institution. What we have found is that most federal aid will travel abroad with students. Depends on the school, but institutional aid and state aid will also generally transfer to the study abroad program. And in general, students are going to end up paying the same, if they're on financial aid or receive financial aid, the same family contribution that they would just as if they were at home.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, there are additional costs associated with studying abroad. So a student does need to consider that they'll need to get themselves to the program. You're going to have to pay for a plane flight. Very possible that you'll need a visa, so additional costs for a visa, and even a passport. Some students have never had a passport before. IFSA offers some incredible scholarship opportunities to help offset these costs. For example, we had a student that just ended up paying $120 for their return airfare to the UK, because we offer an early bird grant. For pretty much all of our programs, with maybe a handful of exceptions, if a student gets their application in by a particular date and well before the application deadline, we'll give them $500 towards their airfare.
Hmm. Well, actually, if you don't mind me asking a follow-up question about that, you mentioned about getting passports and travel and visas, and a lot of things that in my own experience, a lot of students don't personally know how to do, like how to apply for a visa abroad, how to apply for a passport. Does IFSA offer any support or advice for helping students follow through with the bureaucracy of not only the American government, but with governments abroad?
Yeah, awesome question. And the answer is definitely. So whilst we can't provide consular advice because it's changing all the time, visa regulations are changing, the cost of visas are changing, we can't provide specific consular advice. However, when a student applies to one of our programs, they're assigned a personal program advisor who will help them through the entire application process, through all their pre-departure information, and that includes providing them information on what sort of visa will be required and the resources that are available to them to get that visa. We also have scholarships that can help students to offset the cost of that visa. The same would be for a passport. We provide all the resources necessary, and we would also encourage the student to make sure they're staying connected with the study abroad office on their campus, who can also help provide some of those resources and some of that help.
I just remember like my visa process and like my passport process, because I didn't have either before going abroad. It was just so easy. It was easy. I had an advisor. Her name was Jen. Shout out to Jen. She was great.
Yay, Jen.
But also I remember my sister, my older sister, she didn't go abroad through IFSA. She chose a different program and she had to do the entire process on her own. And I just remember it seeming just so unnecessarily stressful. And it just made me feel so thankful that I had the support of like literal experts to help me get through this, like held my hand during the complicated paperwork shenanigans.
Sure. Mm-hmm. No, I've definitely heard that story before without question. You know, there are some students who've traveled abroad and know what they're doing and they can go off and do that by themselves. And then there are people who have never stepped foot outside the country, and it can be an incredibly overwhelming experience, not just to go abroad, but to figure out, oh my gosh, what is a visa? And I've had so many students ask me, what exactly is a visa? Like, what am I getting? Like, and just explaining, well, the visa paper and your passport, et cetera, depending on the country. So even the basics can go such a long way in helping students just reduce that slight level of stress they might be feeling around things like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, this is actually the perfect time because I just want to have a PSA for all prospective IFSA students. Don't lose your passport. Do your best to like, credit cards are replaceable, driver's licenses are replaceable, passports technically are, but just don't lose your passport. Don't lose your passport. They're so important.
Did it happen to someone you know?
Oh, no, this is just advice that my parents gave me. They were like, look at me in my eyes, don't lose your passport. And I was like, got it. And I didn't lose my passport.
Yay! It is an incredibly important document without question. And take copies of it. Make sure you take a photocopy or a scan or take a photo. Leave it with mum and dad. Leave it with friends. Leave it with someone. Make sure you carry a photocopy with you that's separate from the actual passport as well, just in the unlikely event that something should happen to the actual passport.
Also, get a passport belt. Those are great. Like, I had one of those, like, you know those, like, little, like, pocket, like, necklace things where you can, like, you can put, like, your money in there, you can put your passport in there, like, all of your valuables, your identification, your IDs and stuff, and just tuck it under your shirt, and you'll never have any problems.
Absolutely. That's true. Just make sure the tag doesn't stick out, because then it's just obvious.
Of course. So then, let me ask another question about, like, the experience of being abroad. When I was abroad, was with a family. I lived with a Chilean family. They didn't speak any English.
Yeah.
And that was really good with my, that was really good for my language acquisition goal of going abroad.
Mm-hmm.
However, what housing options does IFSA offer, especially, like, outside of Latin America? Because that's, like, not my realm of expertise.
Sure. No, another fantastic question. So one thing about using IFSA or a program provider like IFSA is that we take the hassle out of having to find accommodation. So we guarantee students accommodation no matter what program they're choosing. So for all of Latin America, it is a homestay option. And it sounds like you benefited greatly from that.
Mm-hmm.
And
I loved
amazing
it.
Stories and the friendships that come out of it and just the connections that you make. And again, that deeper step into the culture. For all other programs, it can vary. So if you find yourself in New Zealand or Australia, you might be living on an off-campus, what we call a flat. So it's like an apartment. You might have your own room, and then you're living in this flat. There's maybe 5 or 6 bedrooms, and you're sharing 2 bathrooms and a kitchen. And then you might walk to campus, or you might be, catching a local bus to campus. Alternatively, we have programs, say, for example, we work with the Shanghai University of Finance and Economics in Shanghai, and we have international housing right there on campus. Students are living with other international students, so they're having that opportunity for cross-cultural interactions, and then they're paired up with a Chinese buddy to practice language skills, but they're living right there on campus with other international students. And then in other locations, students are living, again, on campus or off campus with local students.
Mm.
So it's an opportunity to, again, interact with locals. But it really does vary widely and, again, covers the entire spectrum from homestays to on-campus housing to off-campus flats. But we would never ask students to find their own housing. If students get in early with accommodations that they might require, whether that's dietary needs, whether that's access needs, we work very closely with them to make sure that all of those needs are covered. We've even had students in Buenos Aires who are like, oh my gosh, I'm completely gluten-free and I need a house that's gluten-free. And we work with families to make sure that students are perfectly matched. It's a long process to make sure that our matches go as smoothly as possible.
Mm-hmm. And that's really, really amazing that IFSA just has the resources to give every one of their students such individualized attention.
Mm-hmm.
That's like...
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Like not even most American universities can do that. So that's just incredible to see from IFSA.
Mm-hmm. That is a really great point to make, Chris, is that one of the great things is we have staff on the ground in every single country where we have a program. And so if you're enrolling at a university, say, for example, the University of Sydney or, a large university anywhere, the staff at that university are there for you as well. But they're also dealing with hundreds, maybe potentially thousands of other international students. And if something happens, if you lose your passport, if for any reason you miss the last bus home, or just something happens, having to connect with those staff who work with international students on the campus can be difficult, only in so much as they don't have the resources available, and IFSA does. So our staff are there on the ground, everything from resident directors to academic support staff to mentors that are absolutely incredible and can help students no matter what, program they're in, no matter which IFSA program, no matter which university.
That's truly spectacular. And that's also like just really, I don't know, kind? What's the word I'm looking for? Just selfless. I actually have another question. I would love to get your, I'd love to use the remainder of the time that we have left in our interview to ask just some advice, or ask for you to give some advice to any prospective students who are not only considering IFSA, but also study abroad in general. So my first one would be, how would you recommend would be the best way to acclimate to new cultures, or how to, I guess, get used to living in a foreign country? Because it's a very spontaneous and literally overnight change of like one day knowing the culture, knowing the customs, knowing the language, and then the next day that may not be the case. What would you recommend?
Culture shock is a real thing, and I don't know if you experience it. Not every student experiences it. Certainly a very individualized phenomena, shall we say.
Mm-hmm.
And getting to a new country, students are so excited and everything is different and they want to be a part of this and a part of that. So definitely get involved without question. Make sure you're attending orientation, and not just a bit of orientation. Go to every single part of orientation. One of the amazing things about IFSA is that orientation is certainly fully included, meals, accommodation, but not just that, excursions are included. So you have the opportunity, just say you're studying in New Zealand, we're going to take you on a two-day kayaking trip. That's pretty awesome as a part of orientation. Get involved. As culture shock sort of starts to set in, students can start to withdraw. So homesickness starts to set in. It's like, you know what, this isn't as awesome as I thought, or this is a little bit more different than home, and I'm starting to miss a few things. And students might start to retreat a little. That is when we would encourage the most to make sure that they're staying involved. Like I said, we have staff on the ground. It is imperative that if students are starting to feel for any reason uncomfortable or stressed or about absolutely anything, living situation, academics, friendships, anything, to reach out to our staff, because they are there to support them 24/7, 100% of the time. I was going to say something else about that. Also, students should be, we're also encouraging, keep in touch with friends back home. Like, don't step back entirely from them. But it can be hard to stay involved, and we would encourage students to do that. If they're looking for something a bit extra, we have staff that can help you. If you want to be like, oh, I want to try some volunteering to get back into the community, we can certainly help with that. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that answered your question, Chris. I'm sorry.
No, that does. That's so much good advice. And if you don't mind me throwing one more piece of advice in there, when you go abroad, you should absolutely download WhatsApp before you leave. WhatsApp is an amazing app, because it's basically for texting, calls, FaceTime, Skyping, everything you'd ever need, and it works in it's truly exceptional, because a lot of countries don't even have texting anymore. So like when I was abroad in Chile, no one texted. Texting was what they did in 2005. Everyone used WhatsApp. And like most phone plans didn't even have texting. They would have WhatsApp for free and no texting. So absolutely get WhatsApp to like keep in contact with your friends, your family, and your loved ones.
That's great advice, because in some countries, I appreciate that Facebook is not as much used by your generation, but some countries don't even have Facebook or won't permit Facebook. So if you're in China, WhatsApp is going to be like your best friend. Or any of the other, I think it's WeChat that they use in China, is also going to be a great resource.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then another question I have for you is, well, you personally have spent a lot of time abroad, given your experience with backpacking. What is a mistake that you've made abroad that you don't want someone else to repeat?
Yeah, I would highly encourage people to do research, even a small amount of research on the place you're going. So it's not often that I've done this, but there have been times when I've just made a last-minute decision to travel somewhere, and I've turned up, and I'm feeling overwhelmed because I'm not fully aware about, you know, social customs. I'm not fully aware about the fact that there might be a curfew at 10 o'clock at night and I need to be back in my accommodation. I haven't taken an opportunity to study some of the language. So I'm in this place and I'm feeling overwhelmed. I'm feeling left out. I'm feeling confused simply because I didn't take a couple of hours to do some research before I left. So I would highly encourage people to make sure that you just learn a little bit about where you're going.
Oh yeah, no, I've made that exact same mistake of like finding somewhere on like Google or Reddit or something and thinking, oh, this place looks fun, and just showing up without doing my homework and having less of an awesome time than I could have if I have done my homework, or if I had done my homework. But yeah, that's amazing advice. Mine would be, I highly recommend, whilst abroad, always keep a journal and always write down the amazing stuff you do. I wrote down, I had an absolutely fantastic, like, it was such good advice that my sister gave me of keeping a journal, because I just did so much cool stuff. I went marching with penguins. I went sledding down a glacier. I had all these amazing adventures, and I'm so glad I'm never going to forget them now. And actually, joining us in the studio now is another IFS Ambassadors, Max. Say hi, Max.
Hey, how's everyone out there doing? I heard you say highly recommended, which is the name of my radio show, so I appeared.
Yes.
But yeah, definitely keep a journal. I started journaling the first day of school. I got a cute little University of Canterbury that's in Christchurch, New Zealand, journal from the bookstore. Mm. And I carry it around with me. It's actually in my backpack right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then do you have any other advice, Max?
What hasn't been gone over?
Well, don't lose your passport. That's a big one.
Oh, geez. Yeah.
What other advice do we have? I don't know. Beck, do you have any more advice? Ooh, also, travel with playing cards. That's a big one.
Oh, definitely.
I like it.
Well, yeah.
I think one of the big things. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's just a good way to make friends if you're like in a hostel or a hotel or something. And they're also like just so cheap. They sell them in every country as well. And they're a good what's the word I'm looking for? Not stocking stuffer, but like a gift for a friend abroad is like a fun set of playing cards.
And like,
it's so true.
Novelty playing cards are cute.
Yeah, of course.
I have a funny story about playing cards. I could tell you stories forever, but just, I was traveling up in the far north of Norway in Finland, and it was the midnight sun, and I'd never seen the fact that a place just doesn't get dark for 24 hours a day. And we were sitting at a train station at about 2 a.m., and it's light outside, and we're waiting for the train that I think was coming at 5 a.m., and there was five of us, and we'd spread out like our sleeping bags out on the platform, and we were just lying there, and we're like, anyone got cards? And we put 3 hours, we played cards on this platform on this random little town in northern Norway, and we probably couldn't have passed the time any better.
That's amazing. And did you journal about it later?
So I have so many journals. I've kept a journal since I was 13 years old, and my sister is threatening to steal all my journals and to write a book about it. But yes, that is something I would highly encourage, just like both of you have said. Journal. It takes 10 minutes a day, 15 minutes. You won't regret it.
Or do like a bulleted list or something.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So then, Beck, I have one more question for you in the time that we have left. To students who may be on the fence about going abroad, just because on the surface it seems very daunting, what would you tell that student?
Yeah, this is a great question. You know, I think there are so many perceived challenges to studying abroad. So students might be on the fence because, well, I don't know if I can really afford it, or I don't know if the curriculum's really going to match and I'm still going to graduate on time, or I don't know anyone who's ever studied abroad before. What if this is the right thing for me? Or, you know, I'm worried about a particular salient part of my identity abroad. How do I deal with that? Am I going to be accepted where I'm going? You know, that's a classic FOMO. I don't speak another language. All of these challenges, it's all about reaching out to other people. So first and foremost, we can absolutely help. So IFSA has the resources available. Whether it's your program advisor, they will speak to you in absolute confidentiality. If you're like, you know what, I identify as being a part of the LGBTQ community, I'm going to find myself in Buenos Aires, how will I be accepted there? Is it okay for me to be there? We work with identity-related questions all the time, and our program advisors are incredible about finding the resources and talking students through about some of the challenges they might be concerned about.
Well, yeah, actually, jumping off of that, IFSA was just outstanding. Like, as a POC and as an LGBT student, it was, like, very daunting sometimes to have to figure it out by ear, but having IFSA was just so knowledgeable with really great advice and really helping me to find myself abroad. It was, and just discover new components about my identity that I think were just, I don't know. I already used the word, like, perspective shattering once, and I don't want to use it again, but perspective shattering.
I bet you can.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That's amazing. So yeah, resources definitely exist within IFSA, but your own campus has incredible resources. So your study abroad office, talk to them about why you might be sitting on the fence. They can talk to you about costs. They can talk to you about, you know, there are programs out there where you don't need to have a second language. I think that something super important is, you know what, you can hear it from me, you can hear it from study abroad officers, but try to connect with your peers. So if you see that there's a returnee event on campus where students have studied abroad and they're back on campus and they want to tell you about their story, go to that event. Go to the panels. Hear what it's like for them. A lot of institutions these days are holding panels where, you know, they might have two or three returning students and they're focusing on a specific topic. So maybe it's, what is it like to be a student of color abroad? What is it like for me to be a Jewish student studying in Auckland? Mm-hmm. So definitely connect with your peers. If there are no returnee events, reach out to your study abroad department and they can connect you with alumni. They can connect you with amazing IFSA global ambassadors like yourselves. And talk to faculty as well. If you've got a professor that you feel confident to speak to, go and talk to them about how studying abroad can really enhance what you're already doing at home in your home studies. So I think it's very much about not being afraid to talk to people. Talk to parents. Talk to siblings. Talk to friends from other institutions that have studied abroad. And to be honest, studying abroad might not be the right thing for everybody. And it might not be the right time when someone thinks it is. And just to realize that it doesn't have to be this particular semester. Potentially you could go abroad later. Or if it's not working during the semester, think about maybe a summer program. So I really think that being on the fence is about being aware of the resources that are available to you and people that are willing to talk to you about their experiences abroad. And yeah.
So when you are abroad, it's very important to keep, you know, kind of like, not just like, you know, write things in your journal, but also just keep positive about things. And, you know, if you're allowed to have bad days while you're abroad. It happens to everyone. It happens when you're at home. And so as far as like someone who's thinking of going abroad or someone who is abroad, what, if you had to come up with like a mantra or a mindset that you would really try and
live by?
Yeah, yeah. What would that be?
That's a great question.
I personally have so many that I've used in the past, and of course I'm blanking right now.
Oh, I have one. So I have, actually, that's a lie. I have two.
Ooh.
The first is to quote a little blue fish from the movie Finding Nemo, just keep swimming.
I was going to say go with the flow.
Go with the flow. Yeah, just roll with the punches. And then my second piece of advice is that study abroad is a privilege, and it's supposed to be really, really fun. And a lot of, so, like, I started doing this when I had culture shock, and when I had culture shock in, like, my first couple of weeks was taking a second and, like, thanking the opportunity to be abroad, or taking a second and, like, appreciating the food, or appreciating, like, food before I would eat it. Almost, like, say grace, and just, like, call out one or two or three things that may be on my mind that I'm especially thankful for. And that can just really help contextualize the experience.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also keep a gratitude journal as well as a normal journal, which is awesome. But I carry a notebook around with me, and I still carry it. And I have some quotes here that I've been carrying with me for like 15 years. And one of them is actually some words from a song. And it's, you're on the ride, you might as well open your eyes.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
And there's the famous Eckhart Tolle quote, fall in love with the unknown.
Mm-hmm.
And also the realization that every single person you meet, they are a new door to a different world. Like, really embrace that. But I think my favorite thing, and this is something that has got me through so much, is Viktor Frankl's line, the last of the human freedoms is to choose one's attitude. So you can continue to choose to be miserable and not enjoy your time abroad, or you can change your attitude and decide that, you know what, I'm here and I'm going to make the most of it in whatever way I possibly can.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing advice. And then I have one more quote, just I'm going to throw it out there. To quote John Muir, the mountains are calling and I must go.
And I like it.
As my thought on the matter. Just like, you know, when you're abroad, you have so much more time than you're used to having when you're, or at least I had so much more time than I was used to having when I was here on campus. And just having the ability to, like, you know, sit down on a bench, close my eyes, and just, like, be there and be present and just, you know, meditate and have a quiet moment of doing nothing. Mm. It's okay to do nothing, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I love it.
Mm-hmm. Beck, it has been such a pleasure speaking with you. Unfortunately, we're about to run out of time, but do you have any last-minute outlying things you'd like to shout out for about IFSA?
I just want to say that if there is anybody on campus that wants to know about study abroad that isn't sure or doesn't even know where to start, please go and speak to Chris and Max. They are amazing. Like, it has been such a pleasure to talk to you. I know that I've met Max in person, and that was awesome. I'm actually going to be on campus next Wednesday to meet with the study abroad office. So, you know, if anyone's around at lunchtime and wants to come and say hi around 12 o'clock next Wednesday, I'll be on campus. But, yeah, Chris and Max, you guys are amazing. Please keep sharing your stories because I love hearing it.
Oh, thank you. And thank you so much for joining us on Radio Gringo from WMFO in Medford. Beck, it's been so great speaking with you today.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, thank you so much. And have a great extended weekend as well.
Yes.
Yes, you too.
Thank you. Bye-bye. And now we'll play some Beatles as a playout music. Please enjoy.
What a way to end the show.
Yeah.